We're back. This is Left Out on WRCT-FM. You can call us at 412-621-9728 or on campus 268-9728 or send mail to bob@leftout.info. So what we were talking about before the break is troops of people, the 53% reported on the NewsHour support for keeping troops in Iraq, whatever that may mean. Also, Danny has a news item we found recently about our increases in spending on nuclear weapons by the Department of Defense. Maybe Danny wants to comment on that.
Right. There was an article that was written by Fred Kaplan, appeared in Slate a few days ago, kind of looking at what's going on in the nuclear weapons development. Turns out that the U.S. is currently spending $6.5 billion a year this year, and that's 2004, on nuclear weapons development. Bush is requesting $6.8 billion next year, and for the next 4 years, a total of $30 billion. This does not include the Missile Defense Program, the Star Wars, so-called Star Wars program. This is just for nuclear weapons. So stockpiling, improving the design, maintaining readiness of all the weapons. So just to contrast the amount of money, 10 years ago, spending on these activities was $3.4 billion, which is half of the sum today. So it's doubled in the last 10 years. And this that period was when there was actually a reason, a threat, a threat of Soviet, that was actually after the Soviet Union collapsed. But the amount of money being spent now is much more than any time during the period of the Cold War. So the question is, why is the U.S. spending all this money? What are they doing? What's the point? So what they've one of the things they're really interested in doing is developing new nuclear weapons that are usable, that are somehow more local in their effect, that can be used in a more strategic way than just obliterating an entire city. So one of the ideas is a thing called the robust nuclear earth penetrator, which is a type of bomb that can somehow dig into the earth and then explode below the earth to destroy bunkers. I guess they envision this, you know, against Saddam Hussein or future Saddam Husseins or Osama bin Ladens or something. I don't know. The whole thing is really completely out of control and really has to be looked at again, carefully considered. And I'm obviously that's something that hopefully Denis Kucinich, if he were elected, would be a person to do something about it. I don't know what Kerry's position would be.
I was going to say, I suppose you say that about Kucinich because you assume that Kerry wouldn't change the spending. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the thing that – so this is the money you think is going into development of these new weapons. I know that this is a favorite topic of Rumsfeld's whenever he this has come up a number of times as having usable nuclear weapons. And it's not – you know, it's sort of – well, it's bizarre in many ways. I mean, just the sheer horror of this – the magnitude of a nuclear weapon is certainly the most disturbing and chilling aspect of it. But stepping back even from that, I mean, it seems that they start with the premise of wanting to use nuclear weapons, and then we'll worry about what for later. And it's funny, you know, that's the starting point. We want to have usable nuclear weapons. Not – we have a problem that we need to be solved, you know, whether – regardless of what you may think of that problem. But rather than starting with the premise where we have a particular war-fighting situation, we're engaged in a war in a certain situation or so on and so on, and we need a weapon that has certain things, and this is what we're led to. No, not at all. We start with this. And the same thing happens with the missile defense. I notice in the program notes that – although there's this increase in spending for nuclear weapons, that it doesn't include money for missile defense. So God knows how much they are planning, have already spent and plan to continue to spend on the development of this missile defense against I don't know who. You know, these guys who we're really engaged with, for example, in Afghanistan, get around on horseback. I'm not exactly sure what role ABMs have have in the so-called war on terror.
Well, I mean, if you look back at you know the recent revelations and not so recent ones about the administration's attitude prior to 9/11, there was this infatuation with Cold War tactics, Cold War strategies. The missile defense is one example of that.
Yeah, Richard
which,
Clark,
of course,
go ahead.
Is completely irrelevant for the far more likely scenario of a container truck shipped a container shipped in on a boat that has a nuclear weapon in it.
Against which we're doing practically nothing. You know, Richard Clark put it very well in his book, saying that it's as if these guys were preserved in amber since the Reagan administration and or the first Bush administration. And I would say that is pretty well accurate. And I remember very clearly in 2001, from the time that these guys seized office in January until the 9/11 attacks, that what were these guys talking about? They were talking about their missile defense program. That's what they cared about. It was back to Star Wars, back to Ronald Reagan and Star Wars. And, you know, it's just amazing because even then, you know, even before the whole issue of these kind of asymmetric war and terrorist attacks was on the table in newspapers as it is now, it was obvious then that this whole thing was completely ridiculous.
Well, the Star Wars thing is ridiculous. It's even more ridiculous because it's both useless in terms of what the enemy is and what it can actually do, but it won't work.
No.
I mean, they faked tests. That's all been undisputed. There's been analyses by various people, Theodore Postol at MIT and Richard Garwin, who have just destroyed the looked at the physics of this, and it's just basically impossible to do what they're trying to do.
Their notion of
the most naive decoy systems, balloons and things like that.
Well, their notion of a test is you put a beacon, you put a locator transponder on the incoming missile, and then you home in on the transponder, which is certainly exactly what we could expect in a realistic scenario. And is similar to what would happen, what Bush seems to have expected from the intelligence to tell him exactly where and when, the attacks are going to be on 9/11, and anything short of that somehow that absolved him from doing anything whatsoever. So we just had some information saying that Congressman Kucinich will be calling in 10 minutes. We're running a little bit late. So for those of you who are looking forward to talking to the congressman when he calls us up, then just he will be calling us in a few minutes.
Okay. Another comment about this article. Yeah. It's the another place where they're putting the money into is to build a tremendous proton accelerator in order to produce more tritium, which is a special isotope of hydrogen that's necessary to make powerful hydrogen bombs.
Yeah.
And you need this expensive equipment to build these, to create tritium. But there's already, of course, a huge stockpile of weapons, and there's already a lot of tritium that they've made already. Which isn't going to run out until 2012, unless the stockpile is reduced, in which case it won't run out until 2022. It reduced under the terms of the most recent Strategic Arms Treaty. And if they reduce the weapons according to those terms, they won't need any more until 2022. So instead of that, they're building a $4 to $6 billion proton accelerator to make more tritium.
I see. But as usual with the Bush administration, there's the one thing that explains the inexplicable is always the common sense thing, which is just follow the money. So the question is, who's getting paid off here, right? This is no doubt, just like all of these other programs, these useless and pointless programs, spending programs that the Bush administration has been advocating. What is certainly involved here is a payoff to some of their campaign mm-hmm. donors. And it's just a question of exactly which company and exactly which circumstances that they orchestrated this, because the only thing that drives this government is never a matter of any sort of policy or any matter of principle, but rather it's a matter of money and power and staying elected. So you can be sure that what's really happening here is a payoff. I would be willing to bet anything that's the underlying story. But the other thing that this brings to mind is that we're talking about their missile defense system, which we know that Rumsfeld and Cheney are extremely fond of, and then the our puppet president goes along with, is weapon systems. That's just one example of weapon systems that don't work. And one thing that's been coming out recently in Iraq is the tragedy of many soldiers being killed because of either inadequate or inadequate supply or inadequately functioning weapon systems, even for a conventional war and highly asymmetric war in Iraq. One thing that's been very widely reported is the absence of body armor for many of the soldiers in the field. That's we've talked about before and has talked about many times. But the thing that has been coming out recently is the military transport systems like the Humvee and the Bradley fighting vehicle and the Stryker, a new military transport vehicle called the Stryker. I think it's Stryker, if I'm not mistaken, are really turning out not to work. And this is a terrible tragedy because in the case of the Humvee, for example, soldiers are being killed because the armor on the armored vehicles are inadequate. The tires are made of rubber. They burn pretty easily, apparently, and when under attack. And the vehicles are rather light and easily overturned. And so what we're seeing here is that these hugely expensive high-tech equipment, even at that level of technology, that is, you know, building a Jeep, okay, does not work. And yet here we're supposed to be staking the national defense on this highly sophisticated anti-missile defense system, which is going to be hugely expensive, and you can guarantee will not work. And there are technical reasons to believe that, and also just experience shows that the DoD is really fond of having very high-tech, high-performance, fancy-schmancy, and above all, hideously expensive weapon systems that, when put into real combat situations, mm-hmm. yeah. are less than reliable.
Over lunch, you told me that the Pentagon is now refurbishing old Vietnam-era vehicles to be shipped to Iraq because the stuff that they bought didn't work.
Right. This brand new Stryker is being confined to use in northern Iraq in the Kurdish region, where there really is scarcely any combat because at the moment I think the Kurds are more or less on our side. For the time being, because what we're doing is suiting their interests, and these brand new Stryker vehicles are being confined to northern Iraq, it's reported, because they're not suitable for combat situation. That's completely amazing. This is a brand new weapon system of the future, transport system of the future, and they're not suitable for use in combat. And so, what I saw on CNN last night was a spot saying that they were taking out of mothballs. A vehicle whose number I can't remember. It's an M something or other that was used in Vietnam, which is a tread vehicle, that was used in Vietnam. Yes, Vietnam, that would be, let us say, 30 years ago,
yeah.
between 30 and 40 years ago, depending exactly when, for use in Iraq. Well, the good news is apparently that actually works in the field. So that's the good news. But the bad news is 40 years of military spending is not necessarily bought us everything that we might hope for in terms of safety for the poor soldiers who are being pressed into service over there in pursuit of this fraudulent war in Iraq that we're engaged in.
Let me mention the phone number again. It's 412-621-WRCT. That's 621-9728. And you can call us and talk about any of the topics we brought up, which included the Patriot Act, percent of Americans who want the troops in Iraq, lavish defense spending on programs that don't work or are useless.
You can also send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info or monitoring mail during the program. All right, we'll take a brief break. We hope that when we come back or shortly thereafter, we will have U.S. Representative Dennis Kucinich, who's running for the nomination of the Democratic Party for president.
I wonder if